Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said in Psalms 122, verse number 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Can I read it to you again? I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me. David said before I ever got there, just the mention of the Lord's house made me glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I love you today. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd clothe us in the cloak of our calling for just a little while. I pray, God, that you'd preach us as only you can. God, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help me to relay to the people, God. Father, that work that you've done in my heart over the past few hours of this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that we'd be obedient to you. And then, Lord, I pray that, Lord, if there'd be any here that's not saved, God, that you'd draw them to the altar this morning. And God, may they get saved in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. As I began looking at this early this morning and reading after a few authors about it this morning, here's what a few said about Psalms 122. One said in verse number 1, there is a glad pilgrim. In verse number 2, there is a great place. In verse number 4, there is a godly praise. In verse number 6, there is a gracious peace. And in verse number 7, there is a golden prosperity. Another author said it this way. Layman Sharp said in verse 1 and 2, there is a call to worship. In verse 3 through 5, there is the center of worship. And in verse 6 through 9, there is the climax of our worship. As I began reading the history of Psalms 122, I began to think about the age and the time period that it was written in. When you think about Psalms 122 and you think about the day that it was in the Bible days, the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple in the land where is where God met with his people. He met with them in that particular place, and you'll find out that it was their place of worship. You'll find out that in studying our Bible that there was some that would have to travel from great distances to get to the place of worship. You'll also find out that Psalms 122 would be sung while traveling to the Lord's house. Can I just say what David said while he was on this journey to the Lord's house? He said, I was glad when they said unto us, let us go unto the house of the Lord. David had not even got to the church house. It's quite possible that David was traveling a great distance just to get to the church house. He was riding in air condition. He was riding in heat. Matter of fact, he was probably walking or riding a donkey. But you know what he said? Just the mention of going down to the church house, even though I may have to travel to get there, even though I may have to go through storms to get there, just the mention of going to God's house, it excites my soul. Can I echo what David said today? Just the mention of going to church, man, it excites my soul. I thought about this. In the day that we live in, if there's ever been a time in our generation that the church has been under attack, it's in the day that we live in. If there's ever been a time in our generation in America that the church has been under attack, it's right now. It started last year. Now, you can say amen or oh me. It started last year, and I'll say this. I never dreamed in my lifetime that I'd have to go to Raleigh and stand with another group of pastors to have the right to be able to come back into our churches and worship freely. I never dreamed that. But you know what we had to do last year? Because of a liberal... I'm not bringing... I didn't call no party. I just said a liberal. Because of a liberal... You know what we had to do? We had to go to Raleigh and the churches bound together and took out a lawsuit so people wouldn't bother us and our constitutional right. Amen. If there's ever been a time that the church is under attack, it's right now. Amen. If there's ever been a time that there is a great exodus from the church house, it's right now. Amen. Now, if you'll help me, we'll get to shouting ground in just a second. It's just the truth, Brother Randy. There is an exodus from the church house. Here's what happened. Many churches closed their doors last year. They decided, and I just want to say this. You, I'm going to get in trouble this morning, but it'll be all right. You can't go to church online. Because when you study it out, you know what it is? It's an assembling of the believers. You say, preacher, why did we have drive-in church? Because I wanted to keep the habit of going to the house of God. There's just something about these grounds. When you pull up on them, it's a place where God chooses to meet with us. There's ever been a time that the church is under attack, it's in the day and age in which we live. If there's ever been a time that people are leaving the church, it's in the day and age in which we live. Leslie and I was talking yesterday. I talked to Dr. Ron Beatty a long time yesterday. And Leslie and I was talking after that. And here's what I told her. I said, honey, I said 15 years ago, a matter of fact, July the 30th this week, I'll start my 15th year here at the church. I said 15 years ago, we came here knocking on doors, trying to win souls and just loving people. And I said, if God... let's us stay another 15 years. You know what we're going to do? We're going to knock on doors. We're going to love people. We're going to try to win them to God. And I've got real good news. I've read the Bible today, and here's what the Gospel of Matthew said about it. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I promise you, at the end of the day, when the smoke is settled and the dust is clear, the church will be all right at the end of the day. I thought about this. A lot of people says, why do you make such an uproar about the church? Well, you remember that verse in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 25. A lot of you men know the first part of it. Husbands, love your wives. Now, I didn't get but about two amens right there. And then, not that, women, that was your time, okay? So let me say that again. Husbands, love your wives. Amen. Now, you're supposed to say amen, women. That's what they're supposed to love. But that's where you stop at. So a lot of times where we stop. He goes on to say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And what? Gave himself for. Let me tell you the reason Christ died, for the church. Let me tell you what Jesus thought about the church. He thought so much about the church that he was willing to die for the church. If Christ thought that much about the church, then how much more should we be faithful to the house of God? Amen. Here's what I'm going to preach to you about for just a minute this morning. Why does going to church make me glad? That's exactly what went through my mind this morning, Brother Andy. When I woke up, I'm telling you, as soon as my eyes opened up this morning, that verse was in my heart. I was glad when they said unto me. And here was the next thing the Lord said to me. I like what Charlie said the other night praying. Brother Charlie said this. He said, Lord, I looked over and you was there. He said, I know you was there. You know what God had done when God surreal in that drunk old Charles? Then he looked over and God was sitting there with, and then he said, I don't know if y'all heard him, but he said this, and Lord, I looked down and I was running 80 miles an hour going up a highway. I understand exactly what Charlie was saying. This morning before my feet ever hit the bed, he was right there. And here's what the Lord said. Why does going to church make you glad? Why? You know what we as preachers do a lot of times whenever the Lord puts a verse on our heart? Brother Dakota, we run straightly to Logos and we begin pulling up every book that we've got in Logos, and we go to iBooks and we pull up everything in there, and we go to our Kindle and pull up everything in there, and then we go to our office and get the old books out that is not on Kindle or anything else. And I started to do that, and the Lord said, no, why is going to church special to you? Why is it something real to you? Can I just say something? The church, now I understand dispensations. I understand that the Holy Spirit indwells in the believer instead of a building today. I completely understand every bit of that. And if we need to go back and I need to preach an hour to bring you into all that, I can. But I believe you understand what I'm saying. I understand He indwells in us. But can I say something to you? There's something special about this place right here. There's something special about the church house. There's just something. Every once in a while, I'll just come up here and sit down. I'll come up here and I'll sit right here and I'll pray. You say, well, why do you sit right there and pray? Because I know where everybody sits at. And I can usually start with Miss Christie. And if ain't nobody in here, I'm probably not going to miss you. And you say, well, preacher, you brag. No, I'm just telling you. I look at you three times a week. And when you look at some of the people that looks like y'all do, you never forget them. I mean, look at Robert Potts. I mean, pray for Christy. She has to wake up to that every morning. I sit there and I pray. There's just something special. There's something unique about the church house. Why is it special to me? Let me show you two or three things and I'll be done. Number one, it's a place where I hear God's precepts. It's a place where I hear God's precepts. It's a place, hear me right here, it's a place where I hear the preaching of God's Word. The preaching of God's Word. You know what the Bible said? He still said that He chose by the foolishness of preaching. I love singing. I love to sing. I love to sing with my family. I love to pick around on the guitar. I can't play like these boys around here can, but I like to pick around on the guitar. We'll sit down there at the house, and man, we'll have a bit. I enjoy singing. Singing prepares our heart. But can I tell you something? There's never been anything that has taken the place of an old-fashioned, leather-lung, high blood pressure, bug-eyed, Holy Ghost-filled, wild man preaching machine. I did say man, by the way, preaching machine. There's no substitute for that. You want me to tell you the reason it's special to me? You want me to tell you the reason it makes me glad? It's a place I hear preaching. One thing that I enjoy about the winter meeting at Brother David's that we do. One thing that I really enjoy about that. And by the way, pray for Brother David. He was in the hospital yesterday, but I think everything's all right. One thing, Brother Scotty, that I so enjoy about that meeting is I don't moderate it. I don't have to worry about lining up singers for it. Brother David runs every bit of it. Their church takes the load of every bit of it. We don't have to worry about preparing meals at it. They do every bit of it. Only thing that I have to worry about is on Friday night, I preach on Friday night. Or not Friday night, whatever the last night of the meeting is, however it runs with those dates that we do each year.
And that's all I've got to worry about. So you know what I get to do this year on Wednesday morning? Not on Wednesday morning. I guess it's Monday morning. I can't remember the way the dates run. But you know what I get to do the first morning of that meeting this year? I get to walk in with my family. I get to carry my Bible and my notebook. And I get to sit down and listen to somebody open up this King James Bible and preach the Word of God to me. And you know what I hope they do? I hope they peel my hide off of me. I hope they tell me how wicked and vile and rotten I am. Amen. You say, why? Because I need that. Why does the church house make me glad? Because it's a place where I hear God's precepts. Listen to what he said in 2 Timothy 4:2. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuering and doctrine. What he said, preach the word. I love the church house because it's a place I hear God's precepts. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a preacher that didn't preach a Bible. If I would not let the water in my radiator get cool if he's not preaching the word of God. I want the Bible. Amen. It's a place I hear God's precepts. Can I say this number two? The church house, the reason we should be glad when we go there is because we get to hear God's precepts. But I thought about this. Now, you're going to have to give me a minute to explain it to you. But it's a place that we should adhere to God's purging. Adhere to God's purging. Listen to what the word adhere means. It means to hold fast or stick or to stick by gluing. Here's what the word purging means. It means cleansing or purifying. So you say, preacher, what in the world does that have to do with what you pray? Let me explain it to you. You ever went to church? Whenever you got to church, the choir got up and sung. And man, boy, don't we just have a wonderful choir? I love to hear our choir sing. And the choir got up and sung. And then somebody got up and sung a special. And then the preacher got up in the power of the Holy Ghost and preached. And while he was preaching, you got upset. I've been there. Because he done backed up in your tater roll and dropped a turning plow. And plowed some things out of your life through the help of the Holy Ghost that didn't need to be there. And immediately, bless God, who's he think he is? And I just want to say this in passing. You might want to go over and read about David when he didn't touch Saul. He said, no, I'm not putting my hands on God's anointed. Better be real careful what you're saying about the preacher and how you're acting towards him. Better be real careful. If he's in that book and he's holding a standard according to the Word of God, you better be real careful. Amen. But our first response is, you ever went to church? I told you, if you'll come back tonight, we'll get into John chapter number 2 and get some meat. I'm just giving you a simple little topical thought this morning. You ever went to church and the preacher got to talking about bitterness? I ain't bitter. And immediately when he says bitterness, Sally's name goes in your... I hope ain't nobody here named Sally. Sally's name goes in your mind. And you think, bless God, I tell you right now, if I could catch her on the backside of the dumpster. Are you with me? And what happens? That preacher keeps preaching. That preacher keeps preaching. And he keeps preaching. And he says, God loves you. And the loser in bitterness is you. Because that person that you're bitter towards is living their daily life. Here you are all sewed up. And through that, God begins to work in your heart. And you know what you do? You get up off your look slide over. You're sitting there and you're mad. And it's the person you're sitting beside of sometimes. Are you mad at me? I ain't going to ask you about your wife, though. And the Lord start, and the altar call comes and you find yourself getting up out of your pew going, I'm not dealing with this no more. I'm not carrying this mess no more. And you go to the altar and you pray and you get back up and you go, man, I can't sit back down. I'm just, man, the Lord sure helped me today. And you leave the church and you're like, you know what? It's not worth it. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live in happiness. I'm going to live in joy. And you're driving down the road and this guy pulls out in front of you and it's Sally. Now they've just cut you off. And all of a sudden, I tell you what I ought to do. I ought to pass them and run them off in the side ditch. It's what I think what I'll do is I'm going to follow them till they get to where they're going. And I'm going to get out of my vehicle and I'm going to tell them exactly what I want to tell them. Let me tell you what you need to do when God speaks to you down at the church. This is the reason it makes me glad. You need to adhere to that purging. You know what he done? He cleansed you of that mess, that garbage, that anger, that malice, that bitterness, whatever it is in your life that he may be working in. He's purged you from that, and you walked out of the church house, and instead of allowing that to stick to you like glue, immediately, Brother Jeff, we bow back up, and we get mad. Let me tell you the reason the church house makes me glad is because there is a purging that takes place. And if we do what we're supposed to do, we will adhere to that purging. Let me show you something else, preacher. Why does the church house make you glad? I would say this, because it's a place where I hear God's presence. It's a place that I should adhere to God's purging. But I'll say this to you and I'll wrap things up. It's a place where I am helped by God's promises. I'm helped by God's promises. There's sometimes, now, hear me out before you judge what I'm fixing to say. Sometimes preachers and especially pastors are the biggest hypocrites that you'll ever meet. Hear me out. Because we'll sit in our office so burdened over things in our life. You see, a pastor, if he's a true pastor, just don't have his own troubles. He has the troubles of everybody in his church. He just don't carry his own load. He's got a sign and a light that flashes that's invisible that says wide load. And it's not because I'm wide. It's because of everything that we're carrying. I carry the load of my personal things. I carry the load of my family matters. I carry the load of my children. Madeline's graduated high school and trying to figure out what life is all about. And over the past few weeks, we've had some serious heart-to-hearts about growing up, Brother Brian. And she told me the other night, she said, it stinks. And I said, I agree with you. I'm still trying to figure out how to do it myself. I carry that, but then also each day of my life, now I'm just going to call a few, okay? And don't nobody get upset if I don't call your load. But each day over the past few weeks, we've been carrying Miss Helen. What is this PET scan going to say? Is it going to say that everything is, she explained to me about being frozen. Is it frozen? Or is it going to say that there's no hope, there's nothing, it's too far gone? We don't know. I'm just being real. So you carry that. Are you with me? Then you carry, I'm going to go into it. Brother Zell, Miss Chelsea shared some things with us. You carry that. Then you carry this. Miss Shannon's having some tests run. You carry that daily. Well, then you go to your parents. My mom and dad's not as young as they used to be. They don't get around like they once did. We don't never say anything about this, but Leslie's daddy's health is failing quickly. You carry that. Are you hearing the preacher? So I'm not giving you a pity party. I'm going to explain something. You carry that. Then you take all the guys and gals at the sheriff's office that calls you daily. I'm dealing with this. Will you help me pray about that? I'm dealing with this. Will you help me pray? I'm dealing with this. Will you help me pray? So you're trying to carry all that. Then you take the guys at the fire department. Preacher, will you help me pray about this? Preacher, will you help me? I'm not complaining. I'm thankful that people come to me. And sometimes on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or Wednesday nights, when you walk out of the office, you're picking your foot up like this just to put it in front of the other one. Because you're so burdened down. And preachers, they come through that door right there, and all of a sudden, hey, ready to go to Carol Wynn's? I mean, we're going to have a ball, ain't we? It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be 100 degrees, and I'm going to dehydrate and have 7 kidney stones and probably have to get carried out on a stretcher, but whoa, we're going to have a ball. Hey, man, how's things going? Praying for y'all. I love y'all. Appreciate you. Praying for your brother. Boy, I sure hope God saves him. Praying for you youngins that got to get them back in church. Praying for those health conditions. Are you with me? I know you've had a lot on you at work the past few weeks. Man, I love you, buddy. Praying for you. Are you with me? Boy, everybody thinks, boy, and our preacher's got it together. And he's going. But when we get in here and the choir starts singing those scriptural songs, and what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Or, I remember the day when the Lord said, and all of a sudden, all of that is gone for a little while. Why? Because it's a place that we began to be helped by the promises of God. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. Neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Listen to Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Listen to John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. What about this? 1 Thessalonians 4:13. For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Can I just say this to you? There's something about the house of God that we are reminded about the promises of God. And all the sun, all the cares of life, all the troubles of life, all the sorrows of life, they begin to fade away when we get in the house of God, around the people of God, in the presence of God, and the power of God moves through our soul. I was glad when they said, let's take a trip down to the church house. Come start playing softly. I thought about this. Let me read you another verse. Talking about a good day right here. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Boy, you don't talk about a good day. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her. I'm talking about the promises of God. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Boy, you don't talk about a good day. Neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Can I say something to you today? It's going to be a real good day. It's going to be a real good day when the Lord himself splits the eastern skies and we go home to be with him. It's going to be a real good day. So why are you glad when you go to church? Because I get reminded of the promises of God. Let me give you one more. Hey, lost man sitting here this morning, it's on your road to hell. You may be thinking, why in the world did I show up at Amazing Grace this morning? Because there's a God that loves you. And before the foundations of this world was ever laid, there's a God knew that you'd be sitting on these pews today. God's got a word for you, and here's what it is. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come take of the water of life freely. There's a God that loves you today. And no matter what you're going through, it don't matter what you're faced with, it don't matter the storm that you're in, there's a God today that's decided to stop over here on the side of the hill and wants to help you. So, preacher, why do you enjoy church? Why do you love the church? Well, boy, I could go on and on, but can I just say this? It's a place that I'm reminded of the promises of God. Over and over and over again, he reminds, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, I sure am glad. It was July the 20th, 1994. Matter of fact, I walked back down memory lane this morning. This couple's visiting with us, and she said, I remember you. And I kind of got nervous. And she said, Turner's Creek Baptist Church. She said, youth camp at Turner's Creek Baptist Church. And I said, wow, you're going back 25 years. I'm getting old. You're going back 25 years. And we began to talk. Boy, I'll never forget that day. I went to church at night. The only reason I went is because my mom and daddy made me go. That, and there's a whole bunch of teenage girls there. And I was going to get every one of them's number. Not just one. I wanted them all. But I'll never forget. Lord showed up at night. And at some point in my life, evidently, I had thought I got saved. And the only reason I say that is because I remember I was scared to death of water. My daddy tried to baptize me, and I held on to his tie the whole time. But I never even remember making a profession of faith. But that night, for the first time. For the first time, I realized, Brother Aaron, I was going to go to hell. Boy, I run down that side aisle, Brother Josh, and into the adult men's prayer room, and I knelt underneath that thermostat, and God saved my soul. Let me tell you where that was at. That was at the church house. July 24th, 1996, same youth camp. Sitting on the front row. God called me to preach. Can I tell you where that happened at? Happened at the church house. October 1998. I was standing at the church house, and it was camp meeting. was standing outside. Service was over and we was directing traffic, me and Clayton Maynard. There's this tall, brown-headed lady walked by and looked at me and said, "How you doing tonight?" And I said, "I'm doing good. And how you doing?" Make a long story short, that was my wife that I met at the church house. You know where I got married at? I got married at the church house. Because there's something sacred about marriage. I'll tell you what happened after all three of my babies was born, right after they was born. We took them to the church house and we laid them on the altar and we said, "Lord, here they're yours. We give them to you." There's just something special about the church house.